Psalms 91. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. The 91st Psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Heavenly Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture. Wonderful psalm, beautiful psalm, Lord, comforting psalm. And I pray, Lord, that it would do a work of grace in each of our hearts this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Jewish scholars go by a steadfast rule when they're assigning authorship to a psalm. This is the rule. When the author's name is not mentioned, you may assign the psalm to the last named writer. Now, if that's true, if you look over in Psalm 90, it's titled A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. And so if this is true, then Moses wrote Psalms 91. As you read the Psalms, Moses would be the most likely candidate on the subject of the secret place of the Most High. Moses personally experienced abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. He knows what he's talking about here, because we read back in Exodus chapter 33 that Moses prayed an extraordinary prayer to the Lord. And this is the prayer that he prayed. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And God answered him and said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, and there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass when my glory passeth by that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And we see the results in the book of Exodus of this happening, that when Moses just saw the afterglow of God after his passing, they had to put a napkin over his face because his face shone. You see, Moses needed to know God like he knew him, because Moses was the leader of Israel during a time of constant national crisis. Folks, think about this. Moses led the people through the wilderness journey. You Sunday school teachers are teaching through that series of lessons right now. And he wrote this psalm. And when he wrote it, he was experienced in the subject of threats and calamities and testings. You see, he could write about the fowler because he'd seen and faced the snare of the fowler. Moses had seen noisome pestilence in the wilderness. Moses had experienced the terror by night and the arrow that flieth by day. He knew the threat of the pestilence that walk in darkness and the destruction that wasteth at noonday. He had watched 1,000 fall at his side, so he wrote about this. Moses had led Israel past evil through plagues amongst lions and adders and dragons. And if I was to summarize his ministry in one statement, it would be this: Moses led during troubled times. And yet, in Psalms 91, we read these words that lift off the page like a fragrance of hope. They're a testimony of safety and confidence and peace and assurance. Read Psalms 91. There's no panic in Psalms 91. There's no hand-wringing in Psalms 91. There's no quaking and shaking in Psalms 91. There's nothing but calm assurance and steadfast faith in God. And I think on this Sunday in March of 2020, American Christians need the help that's available to them that's found in this psalm. You see, we need a vaccine, all right. We need a vaccine from fear and worry and panic and unfaithfulness. I want to say some words. I'd like to address the media as if any of them would listen. But shame on you. Shame on you for politicizing the handful of unfortunate deaths of your fellow countrymen. Shame on you for fear-mongering. Shame on you for your exaggerated and mega fake news. Shame on you once again proving we can't rely on the majority of our free press for accurate facts and unbiased reporting. I want to say something to our national leaders too. We're praying for you. We are praying for you and we stand with you. We pray for our president. We pray for our vice president. We pray for those that have been assigned to combat this new health crisis. I want to say to those who are caring for our sick and elderly that we're praying for them. Yes, we're praying for the sick and we're praying for the elderly, but let's not forget to pray for those that are caring for these folks, for the EMTs and the doctors and the nurses and the medical professionals. Our prayers are with you. Our criticism is not upon you. Our prayers are with you. Thank you for risking your own health to help those in crisis. Thank you to those who are working in laboratories to come up with new vaccines that will protect our weakest citizens. Mostly this morning, I want to say a few things to the people of Blessed Oak Baptist Church. All of you children, listen to me. I want you to listen. God will take care of you. I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to fear. Probably most of you parents ought to just turn the TVs off and leave them off for the next few weeks until something that's actually newsworthy begins to cycle in. I want to say to you mothers, I know there's no off switch on the mommy thing, okay? But God's watching over you and God's watching over your children. And I want you to trust in the Lord. I want to say to our elderly, God loves you. He knows you by name. He counts the hair on your head. He knows the frailty of your health. God will take care of you. I want you to take extra care, but I don't want you to be burdened with extra worry. You know, folks, if we just continue to do what Grandma taught us and what Mama taught us, then it would take care of most of our problems. I got an idea. Why don't we wash our hands before we eat? How about that, all right? And you want to wash your hands as soon as you get home because we are a friendly church and a handshaking church, and we're not going to stop being that. But Baptists are pretty germy people, and you probably ought to wash your hands as soon as you get home. How about just some old-fashioned common sense, amen? Why don't we just use a little common sense? By the way, I want Blessed Hope Baptist Church people to study the facts and not be swept away by the media-induced panic. I want you to pray for your country and pray that, if anything, this concern for life and this peek into eternity might stir something of a revival in our hearts and turn people to seek the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness and salvation that's only found in Him. But mostly this morning, I want to preach out of Psalms 91. You see, I want us to have what Moses had. I want Christians to know that we're not the first generation that's ever faced calamities and crises in our life. And whether it's public or personal, I want you to have the peace in the midst of the storms of life and calm in the face of panic. Mostly, I want you to really know what it is to, listen to me, trust in the Lord. This morning I want to preach on this subject, a Christian reaction to a national crisis. A Christian reaction to a national crisis. I don't know of a better place to go than Psalms 91. Let's look there. You see, it begins in verse 1 with Moses making a proclamation of a Bible certainty, and this is it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, if you'll nail that first Bible certain deep down, then you know what? You can start relaxing, you can start taking some breaths, and you can begin to experience a little bit of peace in your heart. You see, Moses knew something. He knew what it was to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. He knew what it was to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. His faith and his trust was in the Lord. And we see that that affects what comes out of his mouth. Moses speaks about God. I will say of the Lord. What is he going to say about the Lord? He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. So he proclaims a Bible certainty that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And because he's there, by the way, how important is it to live in the will of God and to stay in the will of God? Because he's there, he makes a proclamation with his mouth. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And then Moses, after that, begins to speak about God to God's people. Verse 3 all the way down to verse number 11. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Folks, do you know what the phrase noisome pestilence means? It means a sickness. It means a plague. It means a disease. It means a virus. He said, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowlers and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers. How about this? And under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shalt be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence, there it is again, that walketh in darkness. You can't see this. They're saying, oh, you can't see this. It's walking in darkness. Guess what? There was another generation that faced that. Guess what? You know what he did? He stood up before the people and he said, let me tell you a Bible certainty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then you know what he did? He began to proclaim with his mouth about God's faithfulness, about him being a refuge and a fortress. And he proclaims that I'm going to trust the Lord. And then he begins to, I think, calm the people's nerves by talking about the noisome pestilence, the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. He said this, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. I don't know about you, but it doesn't sound like to me Moses is panicking. It doesn't sound like to me that he's fretted all week long trying to decide whether or not we ought to come to church this Sunday or not, because my goodness sakes, did you hear what the Communist News Network said about this thing? You know, if we had some spiritual discernment, we might be able to look under the layers of what's going on and the hearts of the people that are involved in it and decide that maybe there's a bigger agenda and it's not being run by God, it's being run by the devil. And I love this portion of the psalm because after Moses says to the people, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, Moses has been speaking about God to the people, but then God jumps in verse 12 and begins to speak to Moses. Moses just said, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. God speaks up. God says, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. And then God begins to speak about Moses to the people. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And here Moses is in the process of proclaiming a Bible certainty. He said, I don't know where y'all are dwelling, but I'm going to tell you where I'm dwelling. And if you're not there, you better get there. Because once you have that Bible certainty about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, once you decide that you're going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, then you know what? You can say some things with confidence. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. And then he begins to comfort other people around him. And right in the middle of his certainty, biblical certainty, and his proclamation, and his comforting of other people, God interrupts the psalm and begins to proclaim his love for Moses and his protection for Moses. You know how to get God's protection? You listen, folks, stop worrying about, you know, getting 55-gallon drums of hand sanitizer and diving in and out of it. You want to get the protection of the Lord? You want to get his protection? You know what? Abide in the shadow of under the shadow of the Almighty. Dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Here you go. Begin to proclaim with your mouth, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Moms and dads, what are your children listening to you say? During a crisis, whether it's the crisis that's being fabricated or a real crisis in your personal life, what are your children hearing you say? What are the people at work hearing you say? You see, folks, Christians are not supposed to react to crisis the same way a lost world reacts to crisis. And Moses, who is a spiritual leader, is setting up a spiritual example. Listen, folks, this isn't his first rodeo. He's faced some things. He's taken them through the wilderness journey. He's faced the snare of the fowler. He's seen the noisome pestilence. He's experienced the terror by night and the arrow that flieth by the day. He knows the threat of the pestilence that walks in the darkness and destruction that wasteth at noonday. He's watched a thousand fall at his side. He led Israel past evil and through plagues and amongst lions and adders and dragons. And yet he's not a defeatist, and he's not lost his faith in God, and he's not in panic mode. Instead, he is verbally telling folks, we need to trust in the Lord. Hey, if you're a Christian out of the will of God, get back in the will of God. Hey, if you're unsaved, get saved, because there is a secret place that you can abide and you can be under the protection of the shadow of the Almighty. God speaks to Moses, and then God speaks about Moses to the people. Now, let me just say this. As Christians, we should never react like the world reacts to a crisis. No matter the circumstances, we should never lose our faith in God. Listen, Christians don't panic, we pray. Christians don't scare, we shine. Christians don't spook, we sing. Christians don't quake, we quote. Christians don't distress or digress or dismount, we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Listen, we don't do hysteria, we do hallelujahs. We don't do trepidation, we do trust. We don't stampede, we stand fast. We don't intimidate, we accelerate. Christians have an advantage the lost world will never understand. We know how this world started, and we know how it's going to end. Okay? We know who made it and who controls it, and we call him, get this, Abba Father. You know what? We just kind of lean back into that, you know? Now let me show up your faith this morning and remind each of you who named the name of Jesus Christ and claim to have him as your Lord and Savior. You should never let fear control your heart and control your mind. You see, we have too much Bible to spend our life in tears and uncertainty. Say, give some to me, preacher, I need it. Psalms 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalms 56:11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. 2 Peter 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. How about Hebrews 13:6? So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. See, I can open the Bible, and six times we can read the words of Jesus in the Gospels as he proclaims, be not afraid. 19 times we read in the Scriptures these four words, trust in the Lord. 63 times we read from our King James Holy Bible this two-word command, fear not. And on top of all that, if all else fails, we still have Psalms 91. Hey, let's go there this morning. Let's look at it for a few minutes. Amen. Preachers, why do Christians face calamities and crisis different than the world faces them? Number one, because Christians know where to dwell. They know where to dwell. Where a Christian dwells. Where is he dwelling? Verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. You see, folks, when you're a Christian, a mature Christian, when a crisis comes, you don't run away from God. You know to run to God. And you know what? We can abide under the shadow of the Almighty because we are his children. So why do Christians face calamities and crisis different than the world? Because of where a Christian dwells. Number two, because of what a Christian says. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. In him will I trust. Now, folks, listen to me. One of the greatest things that you can do that'll be help you to be an ambassador and a proper representer of the Lord Jesus Christ and of God Almighty is anytime there's a crisis, you verbalize your trust in the Lord. You say it out loud. Your wife needs to hear you say, "We're trusting in God." Your children need to hear you say, "We're trusting in God." Your co-workers need to hear you say, "Hey, you know what? I know everybody's going crazy, but my faith and trust is in the Lord." You know what? If we're abiding where we ought to abide, and then we can say what we need to say. So, preacher, Christians don't face calamities and crisis the same as the world because of where a Christian dwells, what a Christian says. Let me get to this, what a Christian knows. What is it that Moses knew? What is it that he had information about, and what was he privy to that the world did not understand? Look in verse 9. Let me give you a few things. Number one, nothing can get to me that does not first come through him. Because of where I dwell, and because I trust in him, verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Now listen, if we're where we ought to be, we're truly saved, and we are dwelling in that secret place, that safe place of the Most High, if we are abiding under his shadow, if we stay tucked underneath his wing, you know what we can say? There's nothing getting to me, and there's nothing getting to my family that does not first have to come through the Lord. Now, that gives me great confidence. You know why? Because God loves me, and God cares for me, and he's got an amazing track record when it comes to taking care of his children. So, you know what Moses had that the world didn't have? He had this assurance: nothing can get to me that does not first go through him. Number two, I love this. Here's some information that Moses had the world didn't know anything about. God has sent angelic bodyguards to protect me. How about that? Verse number 11 and 12. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And you know what he said? He said, listen to me. Not only are you tucked away in my care, but as you walk this earth, I'm going to surround you with angelic bodyguards. Some people call them our guardian angels. Thank you. All right. I looked at my guardian angel so she could tell me that. And guardian angels. Guardian angels. I don't care what you call them. I know this. I got a Bible promise. I don't go anywhere by myself. You see, there's a confidence that Christians can have that the world does not have. You're not saved. You don't have angelic bodyguards. You don't have guardian angels. You can't even call God your father. You know what you're doing? You're trying to handle this whole mess called life all by yourself, and God never intended you to live that way. He wants to save you. He wants to adopt you into his family. He wants to take personal care, custodial care of your life. He wants to keep you safe. He's got angels waiting to surround you and take care of you and watch over you. But you know when you get those things? You get them when you get born again. You get them when you get saved. Here's what else that Moses knew. The devil is no match for my God and me. Look in verse number 13. Did you pick up this? Thou shalt tread upon the what? The lion. Reminds me of 1 Peter chapter 5. How about that? An adder. Talking about that snake that showed up in Genesis chapter 3. The young lion. 1 Peter chapter 5 again. And the dragon. Read Revelation chapter 12. You know what all these referring to? They're referring to Lucifer, Satan, the devil. And you know what he said? Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, and the young lion and the dragon thou shalt trample under foot. Boy, you know why Moses could walk with his head held high? Because he knew what it was to climb up on that mountain. He knew what it was to say, God, let me see your glory. And God said, I can't let you see all of my glory. I can't let you see my face. It would kill you. But if you'll hide in that little cleft of the rock, I'll put my hand over you, and then I'll pass by. And after I've passed by, I'll remove my hand. You'll get to see the afterglow of just where I've been. Not see me, but just where I've been. And you know what? Moses was never the same after that. He said, let me tell you something. I've seen enough of God not to worry anymore. I've seen enough of the glory of God not to worry anymore. You say, preacher, but he didn't get to see God. I love this. He said, I'll put my hand over there. He got to see his hand. You think about it? He got to see his hand. I'm sorry, but I've seen the good hand of my God move so many times in defense and care of his people that, you know what, I'm not, you go ahead, spend all your time fretting and hand-wringing and worrying and posting on Facebook and panicking and you know, then you're right in the, you're falling right in the hands of the devil and of all of his little minions out there that's trying to, you know, get Americans all in a panic again over something that we shouldn't be panicking over. Hey, God will take care of you. The devil's no match for my God and me. I'll tread upon the lion and the adder. With God's help, I can tread upon the young lion and the dragon. I'll trample them under my feet. Not because Jerry Ross is anything, but because I've got God and I've got my angelic bodyguards and they're taking good care of me. And then he said this, what does a Christian know that the world doesn't know? Because I've set my love upon God, he hears me and he protects me. I love verse 14 on down. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now think about this. If a Christian's dwelling where they ought to dwell, then they can say what they ought to say. And they will learn and know what they ought to know. And it changes the way they feel about everything. And what is so powerful in this psalm is to listen to the heart of Moses. See, preacher, when you're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty and you are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High and you're tucked under his wing and you're getting as close to God as you could possibly get and trusting God, it changes the way you talk. It changes what you know. But it also changes how you feel. It changes how you feel. Look at the first five words of verse number five. Thou shalt not be afraid. You see, folks, when I get into this place, this good place with the Lord, then I feel an unexplainable peace. The Bible calls it the peace that passeth all understanding. How can you be at peace at a time like this? How can you not be? How can you not be? Psalms 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What time I'm afraid, Psalms 56:3, I will trust in thee. I feel unexplained peace. I feel providentially protected. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, for the arrow that flieth by day. Look at verse 6, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. You think you're pretty special. Thank you. Yes, I do. I do. I think I'm a child of God. I think my Father takes good care of me. I think he sends some things as judgment upon the wicked. And what we'll get to do is watch that judgment go upon the wicked, but he protects his own. What are you saying? I'm saying I think everybody ought to just take a breath. I think everybody ought to dial back the panic. I think everybody ought to turn off the TV. Listen, I'm not telling you not to use good sense. Use good sense. Take some precautions. Take some extra precautions. That's fine. But folks, listen to me. You know what? Our trust is in the Lord. And he's going to take care of us. He's going to take care. Nothing can get to us that doesn't come through him. And you know what? It's a wonderful thing when you begin to feel the things that he wants you to feel in the face of crisis. Young men, listen to me. If you're going to grow up and be leaders, you can't face crisis the way the world faces crisis. You can't react to every crisis the way a child would react to crisis. You've got to react like a man. And you know what you have to do? Ultimately, you have to have your faith in God. And so I wanted to encourage you. So get your songbook and turn to page 124. Miss Rachel, if you'll help me out here, 124. And you know what helps me? Singing. So what we're going to do is we're going to sing some. How about this? You ever heard this song? Let's sing, God Will Take Care of You. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Come on, sing it like you mean it. God will take care of you through every day. Or all the way, he will take care of you. God will. take care of you. How about that verse four? No matter what be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. Sing it out now. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. 121, Brother Nathan, come on up here and help me sing this, okay? It's not that I really need the help, it's just he makes me sound a little better, all right? So 121, we're going to get into this. Come on now. Are you beginning to feel a little bit what Moses felt yet? How about this? Like a river glorious.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase.
Think about it now.
Perfect, yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect, yet it groweth deeper all the way.
Here's how you get peace. Here's how you get it.
Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace. And
now where do you stay? Where do you stay? Look at verse 2.
Hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand.
Here we go. This will help you.
Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry touch the spirit there. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and
pretty good. Let's go to 119, but I really need a bass. So, Brother Abel, come on up here and help me. He's having so much fun in his pew, he's hopping around, so I'm going to get him up here. Till the storm passeth. How about this? Till the storm. Hey, this too will pass. Folks, I almost brought him up here. And listen, I'm not belittling that this is touching families, and I'm not belittling those that have suffered. But, folks, listen to me. Every single winter time, study the statistics. Over 12,000 people died of the flu last year. 12 to 16,000 if you include pneumonia. Okay, why wasn't there a crisis last year? Guess what? And by the way, that's why I said that our older people, take some extra precaution. And by the way, everybody in here, you pray for our elderly people. But do you know anybody that's 200 years of age? And you realize we're all going to die of something one of these days. Are we just going to be so bound with fear that every little thing, are we going to be little puppets of the media that every time they get on there and just have their little fear mongering that we just, as Christians, curl up in a ball and just, you know, hide in our houses and quit doing the work of God and quit coming to church? Listen, church attendances should not be done down on this Sunday morning. They ought to be up on this Sunday morning. You know why? Because the storm will pass over. Give me an introduction here.
In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever. sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
You know what Moses said? He said, listen, he said, you know what? If y'all want to fret, then fret. If you're an Egyptian, you ought to be fretting. If you're a pagan, you ought to be fretting. But he said, you know what? As Christians, we know some things. We know what it's like to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's sing that third verse. Brother J.R., I need you up here. Come on, Brother J.R., help me out. Come on now. When the long night has ended and the storm comes no more.
When the long night has ended and the storm comes no more. Let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Or may I dwell with thee till the storm passes by.
Think about it now.
Till the storm passes over, till the thunder.
He leadeth me. How about that? He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I do, wherever I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort. Whatever I do, wherever I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful
together.
Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur, nor repine. Content, whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me.
Everybody sing it out, here we go. Some of you may not be as familiar with this song, Wonderful Peace. Wonderful peace, peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight. Here we go.
Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls the melody sweeter than song. In celestial like strains it unceasing. My soul like an infinite calm.
Here we go.
Peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fact, billows of love.
Look at that verse, second verse.
What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep. heart of my soul, so secure that no power can divine it away, while the years of eternity flow. Peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love.
Look at 102. We'll sing 102 and 103. This comes right from what Moses experienced. Think about this. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. How about this? Under his wings. Brother Brian, you liking this? You need to come on up here. Then. Come on up. Come on, Brother Levi. You need to come on up here. Man. Which one of you teen guys just dying to get up? Come on, Brother Max. Get up here, Samuel. All right. Okay, here we go. We don't need no women. We don't need no women. No, we don't need any women. Here we go. He hideth my soul. Here we go.
Oh, wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me.
Here we go.
He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth
showing up. They're probably wanting to cover this, you know. Yeah, NBC's probably coming in. They'll be in here in just a minute. They're probably unloading their camera. You know what? This is what they don't want to see.
That's right.
And this is what ticks the devil off.
That's right.
What he likes to do is stir up a little motion and commotion in our nation and have Christians just curl up in a fetal position, right, and quit on God and quit on each other and quit on church. Folks, listen to me. We've got a God that's bigger than that.
That's right.
Like I said, we need to pray for some folks. And I know that this has touched some real lives. But I'm telling you something. Folks, listen to me. God is still on the throne.
Amen.
I talked to him this morning. He said to say hi to some of you. Amen. Hadn't heard from you in a while. And he said to come up and remind you something.
Amen.
But you know what? There's nothing that's going to come into your life that's bigger than he is.
Yes, sir.
And the devil and all the hordes of hell can gather and put all of their efforts against one Christian. And if God steps beside that Christian will trample all of the hordes of hell,
right,
under his feet.
Yes, sir.
Listen, we need to start living like greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. So think about that as we sing this last song. Let's sing it beautiful, like a choir, under his wing. What a beautiful song.
Under his wings I am safely abiding, though the night deepens and tempests are. are wild. Still I can trust Him, I know He will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am His child. Under His wings, under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever.
We're going to do all three. Let's do that second.
Under His wings, what a refuge in sorrow. How the heart yearningly turns to the breast. Often when earth has no balm for my I find comfort, and there I am blessed.
Where's that at?
Under His wings, under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings, my soul shall abide.
Safely. Hey, look at that third.
Under His wings, oh, what precious enjoyment. There will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe ever.
Preacher, boy, you can sing these songs. You can have this peace of your heart because of what? Because of where a Christian dwells. Because of what a Christian say. Let's make sure we're saying the right thing. Because of what a Christian knows.
Right.
What do we know? Nothing can get to me that doesn't go through God. How about that?
Amen.
I got angelic bodyguards. Just try to mess with Jerry Ross. Go ahead. How about this? The devil's no match for God and me.
Right.
Devil's no match for God and me. God hears and answers my prayer. You know why? Because I'm staying tucked under His wing. What does that make you feel? An unexplainable peace, a providential protection, a Christian confidence. You know what?
Amen.
Folks, listen, I'm not going to live my life in fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear,
right,
but of love and of power and of a sound mind.
Amen.
Now, wait a minute before we're done.
Yes,
say, preacher, you said all of that was available to who? To a Christian.
Amen.
To a Christian. You say, Brother J.R.?
Yes, sir.
Are you saying then all of that's yours?
Amen.
Brother
Amen.
Amy, you say?
Amen.
All of that's yours. Brother
Thank
Brian, you say?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
All of that's yours.
Amen.
No need to worry. No need to panic. No need to watch the news and then just walk the floors worrying and, oh, my goodness sakes, take my temperature every 5 minutes because, oh no, I sneezed. Oh, no! Come on now. Come on, you say?
Yes, sir.
All right, and you know what? Everything I just talked about is available to a teenage young man. Think
That's
about
right.
the grace of God
yes,
right
sir.
There, all right? You say?
Yes, sir.
It's all yours.
Amen.
It's all yours, Brother Max. It's all yours. If you're saved, are you
yes,
saved?
Sir.
All right, okay, you're saved, Brother Max.
June 2nd, 1990, yes, sir.
Amen. He got on board. The Father said, come on in. Come on into my habitation. Come on into my strong tower. Come on under my wing. Listen, the rest of the world can freak out. You don't have to freak out about everything. You know why? Because you're mine and I'm yours. And you know what? I take care of what's mine. But wait a minute. I just asked these men, by their public confession, they knew
Amen.
That there was a day they received Jesus Christ as the Savior. Brother J.R., was that always true in your life? Was that always true in your life?
Absolutely not.
Always true?
No, sir.
Yes, sir.
No. Me neither. But you know what? It sure is good to be saved.
That's right.
In times like these, the song says, in times like these, we need a Savior.
Right.
And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior,
sir.
Say, preacher, how do I know if I have? Let me tell you something. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's something going on right now inside of you that you can't even explain.
Yeah.
And it's God tearing you up from the inside out. Come on, you remember what Holy Spirit conviction was like? And God's telling you, listen to that man. Listen to that man. He's right. Telling you the truth. He's preaching the Bible. Listen to him. You need to be saved. You know what God's really saying to you? I love you, and I want you, right. And I'll save you today. Amen. Let me take that kind of care of you. Be one of my children.
Right.
And if you're here today, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray that you'll get saved today. Thank you, gentlemen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for meeting with us this morning. And Lord, boy, it's a shame. It's a shame. Shame on the preacher that I had to let something like this get me stirred up enough to talk about this. Lord, this ought to be a regular theme from the pulpit of Blessed Oak Baptist Church. I want my church to understand that God loves them and God cares about them and God watches over them. And Lord, I pray that we'll go home, Lord, instead of that fear that was in our hearts maybe when we came in. And Lord, we're not, none of us are immune from it. None of us don't have those valley times. It touches all of us from time to time where we just let unreasonable fears grip our heart. But Lord, instead of that fear that maybe we carried in, Lord, could we maybe carry one of these songs out in its place? Could we carry out as Christians an assurance that God will take care of us through every day or all the way? Lord, our faith and our trust is in you. Lord, thank you for the promises. Thank you for Brother Moses. Here's a man that faced his share and more of some of the challenges of life and trials and tribulations. Boy, Psalms 91 just flows out of his heart, out of his pen as the Holy Spirit fills him. And Lord, I believe that you penned it down for us, for we need it in times like these. And so, Lord, I pray if there be one here, one person here, that's never received Jesus Christ as their Savior. If they died right now, they don't know. They don't know. They don't know for sure they're on their way to heaven. Maybe they even fear what awaits them in eternity. Lord, they came in that way, but they don't have to leave that way. Lord, I know what it is to walk into a church lost and walked out, and then walk out saved. Thank you for the day that I listened to the preacher and listened to your Spirit and walked an aisle and had somebody open the Bible, kneel at an altar, and thank you for the day I prayed and received Jesus as my Savior. There's someone here without Jesus as their Savior. I pray they'd be saved today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. How about it? Are you saved? By the way, if you're not, you're amongst friends. You're also amongst a bunch of people that are saved for the most part, but at one time wasn't, so they know what it is to set where you set. But every single one of them had that time where God spoke to their heart, and they walked down an aisle and got saved. You say, preacher, I'm not saved. I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. But God is speaking to me right now. Would you let me pray for you? And by the way, I won't call you by name. I won't embarrass you. But I'd sure like to pray for you. Just between me and you, would you lift your hand and say, preacher, I'm not saved. Would you pray for me, preacher? I don't know for sure if I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody at all? Anybody at all? How about Christians? Preacher, I'll be honest with you. There's been a little fear that's crept into my heart of late. I needed to hear that. Preacher, I just needed to hear what I heard this morning. Would you raise your hand all over the auditorium? God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the way you minister to us. Thank you for being there for us, Lord. We love you. Thank you for loving us. Bless your children, dear God. We pray in Jesus' name.